I think I'm starting now. Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Siri K.B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January the 2nd, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at page XXVI in the doctor's opinion, starting with the second paragraph, beginning with the physician who, at our request, will be reading through two paragraphs, ending with "we cannot otherwise account." We'll be commenting on those two paragraphs. Today's readers are Nancy T. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are we're going to have Penny L. C., Cindy D., and Melanie C. will be our newcomer greeter. The share ID for yesterday, which was Tuesday, January 1st, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 12,366. That's 12366. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, the Wednesday 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12369. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 steps of OA. Nancy, could you please unmute? Nancy? Okay. Could we have somebody else read the 12 steps, please?
Someone I can do that. This is Melanie.
Thank you, Melanie.
You're welcome. The 12 steps of OA. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Melanie C., and now we'll have Athena B. read the 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. These are the 12 traditions. Our common welfare should, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be a service, and I'm Kat.
Thank you for your service this morning, Athena. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and our readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the book, Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we're resuming our study of the Big Book on page XXVI in the doctor's opinion, starting with the second paragraph, beginning with the physician who, at our request, reading through 2 paragraphs, ending with we cannot otherwise account, and comments will be on both. So let's see here. Penny LC get us started reading, please?
Thank you very much, Sherry. Thank you for your service. Good morning. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. XXVI. And the reading is as follows. The physician who, at our request, gave us this letter has been kind enough to enlarge upon his views in another statement which follows. In this statement, he confirms what we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe, that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality or were outright mental defectives. These things were true to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us. But we are sure that our bodies were sickened as well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. The doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us, As laymen, our opinion as to its soundness may, of course, mean little, but as ex-problem drinkers, we can say that his explanation makes good sense. It explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. And when I look back on these paragraphs, I'm reminded of the context of this. For me to finally understand that I had something physically different in my body chemistry that contributed to me being a compulsive overeater was such a different way of thinking. I always just thought I needed to try harder. I never thought that my body had an allergy, a dis-ease when I put certain substances in it. So this was just quite freeing for me to come and be able to read these pages and know that it wasn't just me. There was something physically, to account for, this physical allergy. And that I was not responsible for my disease. In other words, the same way I wasn't responsible for having cancer. But what I was responsible for was my recovery, what I chose to do about getting it treated, and what I chose to do about taking care of my body to help it recover from the disease. And for me, that means paying attention to what I put in my mouth and being accountable to myself and to my higher power, and in my case, to my sponsor daily, of what I chose to consume in 24-hour period each day. That gives me the freedom to be able to move on with life and get down to the causes and conditions that we'll learn about in the rest of the readings. But right now, grateful to know that there is a physical allergy, and it's not just my mental inability to deal with life on life's terms. So this was very freeing for me to read these passages. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Peniel C. So again, we're reading in the doctor's opinion, starting with the second paragraph, beginning with the physician who, at our request, reading through two paragraphs, ending with we cannot otherwise account. Comments will be on both. Who would like to begin? Who would like to share?
Jackie
A. Did I hear Jackie H?
Yes.
Nicole C.
Nicole C.
Karen C.
Yes, Nicole C.
I'm sorry?
Julie M.
I heard somebody before.
I said yes, Nicole C. Yes, I was confirming. Yes, Nicole C.
Okay, you said Nicole C?
Yes.
Okay, who was next, please?
Jenny N.
Jenny N.
Yes.
Karen C. Catherine C.
Karen C.
Karen C. Thank you, Karen.
Sarit L.
Julie.
Sorry, again.
M.
Larice. Was that Larice L?
Sarit. Sarit L.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting it. I apologize.
It's okay. It's hard. S-A-R-I-T.
Sarit. L.
With
got
an S.
It. Thank you, Sarit.
Like Sarah Sarit. Thank you.
Okay. And then we can do one more.
Paula N.
Oh.
Paula who?
N.
Paula N. Okay, that's a good lineup. So I have Jackie H., Nicole C., Jenny L., Karen C., Sarit L., and Paula N. Go ahead, Jackie H.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. And this is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Glad to be here this morning. Well, these two little paragraphs are pretty powerful. And I am so grateful today to have this book in my hand. 11 years old. I'm 11 years old, right? And I know that something's wrong with me. And honestly, I did think I was just maladjusted. I just knew something was bad wrong with me. And yes, there was some maladjustment. But I had no clue about the allergy of the body. So every night, I mean, as a young girl, here I'm 11, just a baby, and I'm on these diets. And then I also find out that I can eat whatever I want and then just go throw up. And I've got all this suffering as this little girl. And I remember going to bed every single night thinking I could die. And I'm 71. So back then, they didn't even know about this kind of stuff. I mean, the doctor sure didn't. But I felt like I could die. And I remember every night praying that tomorrow would be different and that I would not eat and that I would not purge. And tomorrow would come and it would happen again. And so I spent the rest, you know, the rest 6 decades dealing with what I called was an eating disorder and would not take ownership that it was compulsive overeating. And yes, there was a disorder, but I did not know that there was an allergy, that my body had anything to do with it. I just thought I was pure crazy. And so these little paragraphs have a lot of hope for all of us who think we are just stark raving mad. But there is something, absolutely something, in our bodies that are different. And it also tells me here, and it makes me really, really very sure that I cannot put in my body any of the substances that create craving. I remember I was telling my husband the other day, do you know what? I'm full, I'm not hungry anymore, and I'm not craving anything. I'm not craving anything. Oh my goodness. And the reason I'm not is because I'm not putting the substance in my body. Once I do, I will be gone. I've already done all the research. I've already tried to experiment with all that. And for 5 years, I was pretty abstinent from my alcoholic foods. I didn't know that they were alcoholic foods. I just didn't want to eat them because they would make me fat, right? But I didn't have a program, so I was stark raving mad. So we have to know that those are the two. We cannot deal with just the allergy or just deal with the mental obsession. This is twofold, and I'm so grateful today that I found someone in this program. Thank you. With that the problem had been solved, and that today I get to turn around, right, and guide other human beings through this process, and I get to watch them transform. That's what I'm here for. Didn't used to think so, but I'm here to be of maximum service to my fellows and my God, and I thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Nicole C., you'll be next, followed by Jenny N. Go ahead, Nicole. Nicole C., a star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Nicole C. in California. Can you hear me, Sherry?
I can. Go ahead, Nicole.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry, for your service and for sifting through all of our names. I don't envy your job. this sounds so difficult. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm in California. I love the doctor's opinion. When we read, "But we are sure that our bodies were sickened as well," that to me is a game changer. It is a whole different level of acceptance because it's one thing for me to get to a bottom and hate how I look and hate how I feel and be desperate to do anything to stop it. That's one thing. But to actually recognize that putting certain foods in me actually causes a reaction that doesn't happen in normal people is a game changer. It brings me such a sense of relief. Oh, okay. I cannot ever eat just one bite of sugar, and I've tried so many different ways, or whatever alcoholic food it is, right? Like, I don't have the same reaction as other people. And it's such a relief to know that, because once I accept that, I don't have to trigger the phenomenon of craving anymore. You know, I don't have to put myself through those cravings, because it's one thing for me to have a physical craving beyond my mental control, which is just such a struggle, you know, and then beyond that to treat the mental obsession. When it says the doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us, and then down below it says it explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. For me, what that looks like is, what I used to do is I would say, well, I'm just going to have one bite, or I'm just going to have one whatever it is, right? One drink, one bite, whatever it is. Soda, cookie, whatever. I'm just going to have one. Then later on, what it looks like for me is I've changed my mind. Oh, I'll do two, and then that'll be it. But I'm not actually changing my mind. It's disguised as that. But what's actually happening is I'm having a phenomenon of craving, which is so powerful that I actually believe I'm changing my mind. But it's so much more powerful than that. I'm actually having a phenomenon of craving. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Nicole. And Jenny N., you're up, followed by Karen C. Jenny, you there? Star 1 to unmute, please. Jenny N.?
Hello, this is Jenny N. Okay.
Hi, Jenny. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
No,
okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate being able to share about this step today. I can, I'm a recovering alcoholic. overeater and alcoholic. A recovering compulsive overeater. The sentence that jumped out to me was, it did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking/eating. Just because we were maladjusted to life and full flight from reality, outright mental defectives. This reminded me of, you know, I've only been in the program for about 45 days. And before I came, I spent some time with a professional who has a lot of knowledge about 12-step programs. And so in talking to him, I was describing my food issues. And I thought, well, he'll understand, or he'll be able to help me, you know, see if am I a compulsive eater or not, or do I need to go to OA or whatever. And he kind of said, well, why don't you try, you know, go to Trader Joe's and just buy one box of your favorite cookies and go sit down and put one on a plate and bring it to the table and sit down and just really enjoy that one cookie and then just be done. And as he's describing this to me, this line is so perfect. It did not satisfy us to be told, you know, whatever. That was such an unsatisfying piece of advice to me, because I knew that was not possible for me to do. That was not a possibility for me to do what he directed me to do. And now I have learned, and through experience and, you know, academically through reading this, that's because my body is abnormal, as is my mind. And I can also really relate to that. I had the gift of, you know, 5 weeks of being really free from cravings for sugars, my, you know, biggest alcoholic food. And then over the holidays, I took my will back a little bit, and not a little bit, a lot. And I now, you know, for about a week have been suffering from the cravings again. And thank God I've had people on this line to help me through this. And but it is, one thing my sponsor said to me the other day was the physical allergy is real. And that really stuck with me, because it is real. And, you know, maybe that was part of my taking my will back, was not really believing that's true. So I'm just really grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jenny Ann. And Karen C., you're up next, followed by Sarit L. Go ahead, Karen. Karen C., Please star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Karen C. from New Jersey, recovered today. I love this paragraph, the doctor's opinion, and the part that says the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind just freed me, because I always thought I was just lazy, fat and lazy, which is what people say, fat and lazy. To find out that I wasn't lazy, that I had an allergy that made me eat what I didn't want to eat, was a miracle to me. I just dove right in when I found this out, and I accepted it. I knew it. I felt at home. The first meeting, I felt at home, took all the steps, and it's been a year and a half now, and I got on the scale, and it's not even about the weight, but the fact that I weigh the same today as I weighed December 1st is unbelievable. And I have no cravings, and because I stay away from my alcoholic foods, and I work the steps, I live in steps 10, 11, and 12, and it all started with this doctor's opinion, which was just a miracle to me, and my life is so much better because of it, as far as the weight goes, and peace of mind, and accepting of other people, and helping people through these steps. It's all a miracle, and it started with this doctor's opinion, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen C. And Sarit L., you'll be followed by Paula N. Sarit L., are you there?
It's Sarit L.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Sarit. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just trying to get to a quieter place. Sarit L., recovered compulsive reader from Montreal, and I'm grateful to be on the meeting live and to share what I was taught was that this is the first place in the big book where we hear about the body and mind problem. And we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe this, that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. The doctor's opinion tells us our problem. It tells us what our real problem is. So we don't have to live in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years of doubt. And the doctor's opinion is trying to save us and curtail our journeys. You know, there's so many food programs out there that really, and I've been there, that do have the sugar, and I've worked the steps ingesting my binge foods, and I've learned, like, I can't do that. And while I've initially judged people, I've realized now that not everyone has the mind and body aspect of the disease, but I do. And if that's the case for me, then I have to eliminate the body aspect. I have to eliminate the allergic foods that will trigger the phenomenon of craving for me. As soon as I eat a bar of chocolate, I feel this fog settle over me. I am a complete drunk. I'm an alcoholic. And I feel those cravings. While I speak to other people who can have ice cream once in a while, and that's fine. Like, it works for them. And they work the steps too. So I just have to know. I have to know for me, I am an alcoholic, a compulsive overeater, complete with the body, with the allergy of the body. And that means that my food has to be down. And so I need to sponsor and be sponsored by those people who relate to my disease, who will know about my disease, which is what the big book speaks about, that the body of the alcoholic and that this disease affects the body of the alcoholic as much as it affects my mind. I am outright mentally defective, but I'm also bodily defective. The other point I wanted to speak about was that I am maladjusted to life, that I am in full flight from reality. And in putting down the food and in working the steps, I'm able to focus on those parts of my mind problem and my thinking problem that I couldn't take care of before and I couldn't be aware of before. And so now I'm aware of, like, you know, doing 10 steps, how I am unrealistic to expect my 7-year-old daughter to not be resentful over something, and it's not personal, and kids will be kids, and just to be more sane around other people's behaviors and less judging. Thank you. That's what this book promises, a life of sane and happy living, and it starts with putting the food down. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sarit L. And before Paula N. gets started, we're just going to remind you that we're in the doctor's opinion on page XXVI, second paragraph, beginning with the physician who, at our request, reading through two paragraphs and ending with, we cannot otherwise account, and comments will be on both. So we're going to go ahead and have Paula N. share, and then I'll take some more names. Paula, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, my name's Paula, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I've just started in this program not too long ago, and I've been in recovery, started in recovery over 30 years ago, and I can remember being around, like, people that were saying, you know, that this alcoholism was a disease. And I think I heard that, but I didn't really understand it because in my family, it was called, you know, willpower, weak, they were weak, they were whatever. And just coming to the, starting in this program a little while ago, somebody, you know, recommended that I read the doctor's opinion. And it is, I mean, I've been talking about it. I've been living in this kind of, you know, trying to understand it because it's changing a whole mindset of what I had been told. It's not that he was weak and had no willpower. But the other thing that I've come to realize is that, you know, my father's alcoholism was huge, but what was really going on was my mother's food addiction and how she made me a part of that. And it didn't look as bad. It always looks a little bit better than the person who's out there driving drunk. And so it's just a whole new information that I'm taking in. I know that neither one of my parents, you know, that they both did have a disease, and it wasn't their intentions to, I don't think they set out to cause harm. And but it's just been very revealing just in this letter and trying to change my mindset into it is a disease and I have it. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Paula N. Okay, so we're going to take some more names, and just again a reminder, we're in the we're in the doctor's opinion, the second paragraph, beginning with the physician who, at our request, reading through two paragraphs and ending in we cannot otherwise account, and comments will be on both. And who would like to share?
Karen,
Lisa J.R. Okay, all right, there was a pile up there. I heard Karen, and I heard Karen.
Beatrice O.
I'm sorry, Karen,
Beatrice
who?
Beatrice O.
Was
Lisa
that Ingrid O?
Beatrice.
Beatrice, okay, Beatrice. Beatrice O.
I just got confused here because...
And I heard John K.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Kathleen
Marilyn
O.
T.
Kathleen O. Who was
Marilyn
after Kathleen?
T.
Margaret F.
Margaret S.
Marilyn
Lisa
T.
J. R.
Tiffany H.
Oh, okay, hold on, you guys. You're piling up on me here. Give me just a second here. Okay.
Okay.
So far I have Beatrice O., John K., Mo H., Kathleen O., Margaret C. Who did I miss?
Tiffany
Aaron
H.
Aaron G.
I'm sorry, there was a man?
Aaron G. A-A-R-O-M.
Aaron G. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes.
Okay, Aaron G., and I can take, let's see.
What page was this on again? XXVI?
XXVI, second paragraph, physician who, at our request, reading through two paragraphs, ending in we cannot otherwise account. Okay, I'll take one more. I think I can do that.
Lisa
J.R.
I'm going to take Lisa J.R. All right. So let's get started here. Beatrice O, please start. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Beatrice O from Los Gatos, California. And first of all, I never wanted to believe that I had an allergy or that I was a mental defect. I just couldn't understand why I couldn't stop once I got started. And I didn't understand it because I just wouldn't believe that I had an allergy, because if I had an allergy, I felt that, you know, there should be some physical reaction, like, you know, if I'm allergic to strawberries or I'm allergic to shellfish, that I would have some physical reaction. And I didn't want to believe that this allergy caused my mental obsession. So it was a while before I came to believe. And the reason I believe now is, I guess I was given the scientific reason that my brain is hijacked, and that my brain, after, for an addicted person, for a real food addict, that my brain is hijacked by my substances. And my doctor explained that I have the front part of my brain and I have the lower brain, and that those pleasure sensors between the HICA campus and the nucleus accumbens, the pleasure sensors in my brain light up like a Christmas tree when I put those substances in my body. And it really is a brain, it's an addiction, it's I could call it an allergy, but really what it is, it's a real mental obsession of an addicted brain. And the reason I want more is because I need that dopamine surge that causes me, that creates the craving, that wants more and more and more. And it doesn't satisfy, and it will never satisfy me. And so I had to understand the neurobiology and the dopamine surge that my mind needed. And one of the reasons I came to understand why I kept relapsing is because I was a child of trauma. And those pleasure sensors and those memory centers in my brain are still there. And they were still looking for that ease and comfort, that source of pleasure. And so I want to, with this, I'll pass. But, you know, I now believe because I have the data. And I needed that to believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And next, John K., followed by Mo H. Go ahead, John.
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Yes, I'll actually dovetail on what the last person was saying. You know, there was a line I learned when I first came to my first program. Knowledge of our disease alone does not cure us. And that was a really important thing to hear, because I wanted to think my way through everything. But the word is alone there. Knowledge of our disease alone will not cure us. And like was just said, I appreciate understanding I'm not crazy. I'm not nuts, that this is based on true stuff, you know. I am in the process of getting, gone back to school to get a drug and alcohol counseling certificate. And one of the first classes I took was all on neurophysiology. And in the book, this huge book we were reading, it is like the first thing it said is, well, you know, they acknowledged Dr. William Silkworth was the first person who published things mentioning that there, you know, this was a physical problem. And like was said, you know, this nucleus accumbens and the hippocampus is the area of the brain. It's in the area of the brain called the old brain. You know, it's, you know, before we were fully developed. And, you know, our new brain is the thing that says, gee, I really shouldn't do this. But as was said by my teacher, the old brain versus the new brain, the old brain ruins every time. And moving on from alcoholism to food, Roseanne started, asked Jim from Gamblers Anonymous, do you think this could work for people with food? And he said yes. And AG in Texas at the same time was coming to the same conclusion. But one of the interesting ones is that there's an actual link between AA and OA, and that is that Father Ed Dowling, who was Bill Wilson's sponsor, he wasn't actually an alcoholic, but he's a sponsor. He wrote an article in May 1960 in the Grapevine, which is their version of the Life, AA's version of the Lifeline, where he said, I realize I have the food version of this and that I am addicted to salt, sugar, fat, and I forget what the last one was. I think flour, and that he recognized that. Now, everybody has different alcoholic foods, but I know that mine tend to come into that category. And the other thing that I learned, and I read this great paper, it's a deep, dense paper on the physiology. It's called The Dark Side of Food Addiction. You can Google it. And it talks about, okay, I'll wrap up with this. There's two kinds of things with the craving. There's the positive, when we eat it, we feel better. But there's also the negative, which is when we don't eat it, the symptoms of withdrawal come, and there are absolute symptoms of withdrawal. If anybody who's been heavy on sugar and tried to stop, you know that, and it's just good to recognize that and to admit it and to hang on and get through it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, John Kay, and I'll tell you what, we have only a certain amount of time left, and we have five people, so if you take 2 minutes each, we can get you all in. Mo, you're up next.
Hey, good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. And this is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Northern California, and I reset my timer to 2 minutes. What I want to drill down on, as Charles H. says, is the word explain. It explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. And I wish that someone had explained this part of the big book to me when I first came into the rooms almost 30 years ago, 1989. It wasn't until my Ebby, my sponsor, explained this book to me and explained this particular chapter to me, had me read this chapter and reread this chapter to really get what my body is like as a compulsive eater, that when I ingest certain foods into my body, into my mouth, I'm gone. And I have to say, John Kay was just talking about the withdrawal symptoms, and I'm coming off drugs that I have been on since July, and I am now feeling better and need to come off of them. And I didn't know what was going on with me, and I am going through withdrawal. I'm having sweats, sleeplessness, headaches, nausea, and it's no fun, so I don't want to do that with the food again. And was that time?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I will stop. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Mo H. And Kathleen O., you're up next. 2 minutes, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning, Sherry. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And our bodies are as sick as our mind. You know, if I had been able to get that information and someone had explained that to me 30 years ago, I would have a lot of money in the bank account. I remember paying a lot of money for this course. It was about thinking we could think ourselves thin. And the behavior we had to do was sit down and eat anything we wanted, but just eat a small portion, eat it slowly, pay attention. Well, I'm not wired that way. I don't want to eat that way. You know, I want to eat it all, and I want to eat it fast. So that word torture, oh, my gosh, body torture, mental torture. Why, for so many years, did I torture my body by eating enormous amounts of food? It's body torture. It wreaked havoc on my body, on the inside and the out. And to get this program, you know, there's a recording, I cannot remember the woman's name, she was from the Oxford group, talking many years later to her son about how she was telling him how they were trying to help Dr. Bob in the Oxford group. And she said she called him up one night and said, you know, I had this epiphany. All you have to do is stop drinking. Well, there's that frothy emotional peel, right? It doesn't work for us. I'm genetically wired this way. I have this the same reason I'm 5'7 and not 5'2, the same reason I don't have blue eyes, the same reason I don't have blonde hair. It's how I'm wired. So it's such a gift to go through this book and realize this, and there is a solution. That is the best part. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And next, Margaret C. Go ahead, Margaret. Margaret C. Star 1 to unmute, please. Margaret C.
It's Margaret S.
Margaret S., as in Sam. Thank you, Margaret. Go ahead, please.
From Morro Bay, California. Hi. I am so grateful to be on this meeting and to be able to share. I love the paragraphs we read. I love the doctor's opinion. I, too, am a recovering alcoholic, but I'm also a recovered compulsive overeater and have been in other 12-step programs for that condition. And I was so relieved when I found out that I wasn't crazy. I really thought I was crazy because of the way I ate. It's been that way since I was a kid, but I was able to, you know, do the diets. I've been on every diet known to
man.
I'm sorry?
Time?
That was 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to say I'm grateful for the doctor's opinion because it explained it. And now I know what my problem is. And the book gives me the solution. And thank you to this group for, you know, giving me this. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. And Aaron and Lisa, we have 2 minutes. Why don't you take 1 minute each, please? Go ahead, Aaron. Aaron G. Aaron G, star 1 to unmute, please. Aaron G. Okay, well, Lisa J.R., you're up. You got actually 3 minutes. Go ahead,
hey,
Lisa
thank
J.R.
You. Thank you so much. And good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered for today. You know, I'll never forget where I was when I read these paragraphs. It was the moment that the dawn broke for me. You know, I had no understanding 40 some years in torture and despair over this disease. And finally, I realized that I wasn't just a weak-minded mental defective. The disease had broken me down, and my mind was broken. For sure, I had some mental defective behaviors, but and I was really lower than whale doo-doo when I came into the rooms of the Big Book Recovery. And thank God, you know, I was praying every night for God to take me home. But you know, this had me realize that I am a compulsive overeater, and I love this definition of compulsion, the irresistible impulse to perform an act against your will, even if it is harmful to us or others. And that was me. I was step one for 40 some years. I languished in step one, and thank God you all are here, and we have the solution in this big book. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Lisa. Aaron, are you still out there? Aaron G?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, Aaron, go ahead. You've got about 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Listen, I just wanted to say that with that line about our bodies being sickened as well, it's always been a source of relief for me because it reminds me that we have a disease, but our disease can be managed, you know, and that's allowed me to pinpoint the root of my compulsive overeating and the source of it. And the Big Book has provided me a solution, especially in the working of the 12 steps, most especially in steps 10, 11, and 12. Food doesn't have to be my solution anymore. to dealing with the, well, with my illness. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And that's all the time we have for sharing. I want to thank everybody today for your shares, and I want to take this time to thank Team Wednesday for their service, the 12 Steps by Melanie C., the 12 Traditions by Athena B. Our readers of our text were Penny L.C., and Cindy D. is going to take us out with page 164. Please go ahead and read page 164, and beginning with our just went blank. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and to the end of keep you until then. And Penny L.C., would you please read that? No, excuse me, Cindy D. Cindy D. Thank you, Cindy.
Hi, Sherry. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. You're welcome. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.